In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Hey, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Hallelujah. It's the last day that we sing hallelujah, because tomorrow begins Ash Wednesday, the time of Lent. I want you to remember what we did yesterday, that we need an encounter with the living God. Oh, yes, we need an encounter with the living God. Mother Teresa had that encounter when she was after she made a retreat, and the Lord told her to go and to help the poor and to bury the dead and to let them live with dignity as they were dying. Mother Teresa had that. I should say Saint Teresa. Oh, yes, we need an encounter with the living God. You need an encounter with the living God. St. Paul says, anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We need an encounter with the living God. St. Paul had that encounter on the Damascus Road. Peter had that encounter in the fifth chapter of St. Luke when they gather so many fish, and Peter said, depart from me, I am a sinful man. But Jesus said, no more will you catch fish, you'll be catching men. We see that Jeremiah had that encounter with God when he said, I'm too young. And the Lord said, don't say you're too young. I'm going to send you to the people. So we need that encounter with the Lord. Without the encounter with the Lord, nothing happens. I say, go to a Curcio. Oh, yes. Have an encounter with the Lord. Go to an Antioch retreat. Have an encounter with the Lord. Go to a place where the Holy Spirit is really flying around through the preaching of the gospel. So I want to say, Curcio is wonderful. Antioch retreats are wonderful. Go to a place where the gospel is being preached. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord told Saul, King Saul, that he wasn't to take any spoil from the Amalekites. And this is what it says in chapter 15, 21. And the people took the spoil of sheep and oxen and chief things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. So they took these animals to sacrifice to the Lord. And Samuel said, has the Lord been delighting in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. In other words, becoming obedient unto death. Jesus died on a cross, becoming obedient unto death. He emptied himself, dying on a cross, and on the third day the Lord raised him from the dead. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. I'm looking at the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel. So we see God has withdrawn from Saul. No more is he the king. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? In other words, that he's not king. Seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. Why? Because the people took spoil of sheep, oxen, and they did it against the will of God. I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, and I have provided for me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he he will kill me. In other words, you know, if Saul hears that I'm going to go anoint a king, he will kill me, because Saul still believes that he's the king. But the Lord says, and the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I am going to sacrifice to the Lord, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do and what you shall, who you shall anoint unto him whom I came unto thee. And Samuel did what the Lord spoke and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, have you come here peacefully? In other words, you know, when the prophet came or when the seer came, they're scared. Maybe they sinned and they have demons. And they say, have you come here peacefully? Oh, yes, I'm going to tell you, we need men of God. We need women of God that will teach us how to repent, teach us how to worship God, teach us how to love God. Today, when I was before the Blessed Sacrament, I said to the Lord, Holy Spirit, love Jesus through me. Holy Spirit, love Jesus through me. And he said, peacefully I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they had come, he looked on Eliab and said, surely, surely this is the Lord's anointed before me. And the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on his height, or on his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Do you know that today? That the Lord looks on your heart. A bruised reed he shall not break, a smoldering wick he shall not quench. Your heart may be broken, and you can offer that broken heart to the Lord. The Lord looks on people's hearts. He does not look on people's countenance. And he did not find the heart of Eliab to be made a king. So look in your heart where Jesus lives. Today Solomon is thanking God at Mass for the temple that he built. David did not build the temple because he was a man of blood, but he gave all the materials for to Solomon to build the temple. And Solomon prayed and said, Lord, heaven and earth cannot contain thee. But how are you going to be contained in this temple? Let me just tell you, heaven and earth can't contain God, but heaven and earth can't contain God, but God can be contained in your heart. Hallelujah. God can be contained in your heart. Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive shall be forgiven. I'm telling you, though God cannot be cluttered into the heavens or the earth, contained in the heavens or the earth, he is contained in the heart of the believer. Anyone in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shema pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this one. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. Why? And Samuel said unto Jesse, do you have any more children? He said, there is one that remains. He is the youngest. And behold, he is tending the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, fetch him, send for him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was a ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, with goodly lookings. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Who is it? It's David. It's David. It's David. God looks on the heart. He doesn't look on the outward appearance. God saw that David had a heart for God. Samuel saw that David had a heart for God. What about you today? Do you have a heart for God? Do you need him as much as I do? Do you love him? Are you his and is he yours? Oh yes, the heavens cannot contain God, but your heart can, because your heart is made for Jesus. Did you know that? That your heart is made for Jesus. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. He did what he was supposed to do. The Spirit of the Lord left Saul, and now the Spirit of the Lord comes upon David. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubles you. Let our Lord now command your servant, which are before you, to seek out a man who is cunning and plays the harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from the Lord is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and you shall be well. I have told people that are fidgety and fear that they got evil spirits to get beautiful music, the beautiful music out of the CDs, and just listen to it and be calmed down, because the Lord calms us with his music. Yes, beautiful music to calm us down. David is going to be the one that they're going to pick to play the harp. Let's continue. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. And then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and comely person, and the Lord is with him. So they choose David to play the instrument for Saul, so that Saul would be at peace. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David your son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent him by David to Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor-bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was sent upon Saul, that David took the harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. What could this evil spirit have been? I don't know, but the music of David and the heart of David soothed Saul's spirit. Oh yes, I'm telling you, music can soothe your spirit. I listen to the music that the kids are listening to today. It's all noise. It makes me sad to hear noise, because music is not noise. Music is beautiful, and it comes from the Lord. They are singing in heaven. There is the voice in heaven of the people praising God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you, music is very important. Very, very important. And I continue. Chapter 17. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathering together at Shokok, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Shokok and Azekah. And the Ephesbedamim, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. So Saul is going to be fighting against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. So there's going to be what? There's going to be a war. There's going to be a war. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath, Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with the coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had brass upon his legs, and the target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried into the armies of Israel and said, "Why are you coming out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and your servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me." In other words, choose a man to fight with me. They're going to choose David. And David's a little runt as compared to the Philistine, but you know what? It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. And if he is able to fight with me and to kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And we know what's going to happen. David's going to come up and says, "I'm going to destroy the Philistine." David's going to come up and say, "I'm going to destroy the Philistine." When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and they were greatly afraid. Now David was the son of the Ephraimite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the man went among them for an old man in the days of Saul, and the 3 eldest sons of Jesse followed Saul to the battle, and the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, firstborn, Abinadab, secondborn, and Shammah, thirdborn. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, "Take now for thy brethren an ephah of parched corn and 10 loaves, and run to the camp to the brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the camp of the 1,000, and look how your brethren fare, and take their pledge." Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse commanded, and gave a trench as the host, and going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistine had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. In other words, he's trying to make the armies of Israel scared. He's kind of poking fun of it, and David hears this, and he's going to get angry, and he's going to what? He's going to defeat the Philistine with a slingshot. Oh yes, God knows how to do things. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. Do you have a Goliath in your life? It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. Do you have something that's bigger than you? It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. Oh, yes, by the spirit of the Lord, things are going to happen. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him because they were so afraid. And the men of Israel said, have we seen this man that is coming up? Surely to defy Israel is he coming up, and shall be that man who kills him. The king will enrich him and give him great riches and give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spoke to the men that stood by, saying, what shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine and take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You see, David realizes he is part of the army of the living God. He sees the Philistine as an uncircumcised enemy, and he's going to defeat the Philistine, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that kills him. And Eliab, the eldest brother, heard when he spoke unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why have you come down here? And with whom hast you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your naughtiness of your heart, for you have come down and that you might see the battle. And David said, what I have now done, is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spoke after the same manner. And the people answered him, saying, after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight the Philistine. Oh my, little David's going to fight the Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and this man is a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, your servant kept his father's sheep, and if there came a lion or a bear, he took the lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered him of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. The servant slew both the lion and the bear, which that's David. And his uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defied the armies of the living God. It's all about the living God. David comes in the name of the living God. Yes, David comes in the name of the living God. And David said, moreover, the Lord has delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, for the Lord is with thee. Let me tell you, you might have a Goliath in your life, something big. It's not by might, not by power, by my spirit. He is against this enemy is against the armies of God. You know that God is much more powerful than any enemy that might be tormenting you, that might be after you. God is much more powerful, but you must rely upon the power of God. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. He also armed him with a coat of mail. And David's going to take it all off because it doesn't fit, and it's not going to be the armor that's going to kill the Philistine. It's going to be the power of God. So what does David, and David girded his sword upon his armor to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these armors, for I have not proved them. And David put them off, and he took his staff in his hand, and chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. We do not take 5 stones, we take the 5 wounds of Jesus in his hands, in his feet, in his side, to defeat the Philistine. It is the blood that defeats the enemies. It is the blood that defeats the enemies. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. Well, you know, we're going to have to finish that tomorrow. We know what's going to happen. We know that the Philistine is going to be dead because he comes in the name of the Lord God of hosts. I need to hear from people so we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Your Philistine conquered by the blood of Jesus. Your Philistine conquered by the 5 wounds of Jesus. Your Philistine conquered by the name of Jesus. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.